Studio 360.
Margaret Atwood published The Handmaid's Tale in 1985, and she took inspiration from the rise of the Christian right in America during the 1970s and early 80s.
It's time for God's people to come out of the closets, out of the churches, and change America!
And also the 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran. But another much older inspiration for Margaret Atwood was the story of a real-life woman in 17th century New England named Mary Webster.
"7 p.m. I was hanged for living alone, for having blue eyes and sunburned skin, tattered skirts, few buttons, oh yes, and breasts. The rope was an improvisation. Trussed hands, rag in my mouth. With time, they'd have thought of axes.
My name's Bridget Marshall. I'm an associate professor of English here at UMass Lowell, and I did research on some witchcraft cases that happened before Salem, and one of them was Mary Webster of Hadley, Massachusetts. Hadley is a small, small community of Puritans. Church is pretty central to their lives. There's also absolutely a baseline level of acceptance of and belief in witchcraft, that it's happening, that witches are talking to the devil, and that the devil is active and walking around in New England causing trouble for the Puritans.
9 p.m. The bonnets come to stare, the dark skirts also, the upturned faces in between, mouths closed so tight they're lipless. I can see down into their eye holes and nostrils. I can see their fear.
I can always do a good imitation of the Wicked Witch of the Wizard of Oz any old time.
And your little dog, too.
My name is Margaret Atwood, and I may or may not be related to Mary Webster. Some days my grandmother would say we were related to her, and on other days she would deny the whole thing because it wasn't very respectable. I was actually trying to write a novel about her, but unfortunately I didn't know enough about the late 17th century to actually be able to really do it. But I did write a long narrative poem called Half-Hanged Mary, because she only got half-hanged.
10 p.m. Well, God, now that I'm up here with maybe some time to kill, away from the daily fingerwork, legwork, work at the hen level, we can continue our quarrel, the one about free will.
So, January of 1685, Philip Smith is very, very ill. Now, Philip Smith is a leading light of the community of Hadley. He is very involved in the government, very involved in the church, a very well-respected man. And this community says, wait a minute, why is Philip Smith suffering these torments? Well, in the Puritan mind, they don't know what's happening, and they think it must be a witch. If someone who is so good and so pious could be in such pain and be in such torment, there must be a witch involved. And they very quickly draw the line to Mary Webster. Mary's house was right on the highway. And if someone was taking a cart full of hay, for instance, they would say that sometimes their horses wouldn't go past her house, that they would stop. But if the man would go in and beat Mary, that then the horse could pass just fine. So there was this idea that her supernatural powers could be stopped if they somehow physically assaulted her. Based on those earlier examples, they decide that to help Philip Smith so he won't feel so sick anymore, they will go and do something to Mary.
Midnight. My throat is taut against the rope, choking off words and air. I'm reduced to knotted muscle. Blood bulges in my skull. My clenched teeth hold it in. I bite down on despair.
Well, you do think about these things off and on for a long time because you think about things to which you don't have the answers. And the thing that we will never know is, how did she make it through the night? What was she doing all night when she was dangling from a tree? You know, what was she thinking about?
3 a.m. I dangle with strength going out of the wind seethes in my body. I clench my fists. My lungs flail as if drowning. I call on you as a witness. I did no crime. This is a crime I will not acknowledge. Leaves and wind hold on to me. I will not give in.
So Cotton Mather, a minister and author, in 1689 publishes Memorable Providences, and it includes a very detailed account of Mary Webster and, actually, I would say even more detailed about Philip Smith, her supposed victim.
Mr. Philip Smith, son of virtuous parents, deacon of the church in Hadley, was murdered with a hideous witchcraft that filled all those parts of New England with astonishment.
Cotton Mather's Memorable Providences is 1689. 1692 is the Salem witch hysteria. They put 150 people in jail and murder 20 of them for accusations of witchcraft. Memorable Providences sets a lot of the stage for what happens in Salem, for that hysteria, right? It's feeding into this idea, witches are among us, look at the terrible things they're doing. Men like Philip Smith, good Christian men, are being killed by witches, quite literally.
To me, it's one of the foundational moments in American history, the Salem trials. And the foundational part of it is you can't trust your neighbors. So, you know, think of what the bad thing is to be at the moment. They might secretly be one of those bad things.
So it isn't until much later, in fact, 1767, that we have the first mention in any history about her being hanged. And so it's a later historian who gives us that detail. Cotton Mather's line says that they gave disturbance to her. And so what exactly the disturbance was, it's not quite clear, but we do know that she lives 11 years after the Philip Smith incident. So she definitely, no matter how much she was disturbed, whether it was by hanging or something else, she still survived him.
Six a.m. Sun comes up, huge and blaring. I would like to say that my hair turned white overnight, but it didn't. Instead, it was my heart, bleached out like meat in water. Also, I'm about 3 inches taller. Don't say I'm not grateful. Most will only have one death. I will have two.
Yeah, so The Handmaid's Tale is dedicated to Mary Webster because she is an example of a female person wrongly accused. But she's slightly a symbol of hope because they didn't actually manage to kill her. She made it through.
Well, I think it's important to note that Mary Webster did not have a voice in her church. She did not have a voice in her government. She did not have anyone who was going to look out for her rights. And I think there's resonances here today where women do have more rights, but if we don't stand up and continue to defend those rights, we will lose many of them.
So some of what is being said by lawmakers today sounds an awful lot like the 17th century to me. I just read that somebody is questioning any sort of support for pregnant women. You know, what's that about?
I'm not sure what the gentleman is talking about when he talks about mandates. What mandate in the Obamacare bill does he take issue with?
Would the gentleman yield?
Yeah, sure.
What about men having to purchase prenatal care?
Why should I pay, says the man, why should men pay for pregnant women? That seems to me exceptionally ignorant. But it is typical of the moment in which we live.
Eight a.m. When they came to harvest my corpse, open your mouth, close your eyes, cut my body from the rope. Surprise, surprise. I was still alive. I fell to the clover, breathed it in, and bared my teeth at them in a filthy grin. You can imagine how that went over. Now I only need to look out at them through my sky blue eyes. They see their own ill will staring them in the forehead and turn tail. Before, I was not a witch. But now, I am one.
The first three of the 10 episodes of The Handmaid's Tale are out on Hulu now. Thanks to Kristen DeMercurio, who read excerpts from Atwood's poem. You can hear her reading the whole thing at our website, studio360.org.